If you have your Bibles there, Ephesians chapter 1, just one verse this morning, verse 1, the introduction to the book of Ephesians, and hopefully we'll keep on time. Last year, which was only about a month ago, I was appointed the head of maths at Swan Christian College, and now, don't get too excited. It wasn't just this, you know, there was about 100 applicants and I had to claw my way up there. I think I was fighting against myself. I think I was the only applicant. It's kind of a job that no one wants, and so I got. Anyway, beyond all that, it's a highlight. Here I am, ready for retirement, you know, go out to pasture and get shot. But God has other plans. But, you know, many people see that as a career highlight. You're up on the road to, promotion, and that's not what it was. And so that's a highlight, but there's some greater highlights which I just want to read a couple of them for you. They're in the form of Christmas cards that I got from some students. One's from a Year 12 student. Dear Mrs. Milovitas, thank you so much for being the best Christian living teacher last year and really good maths application class this year. I really appreciate that you're always available for me to talk to. Thank you so much for helping me when my coach died. It was a tragic time in her life. And teaching me ways to deal with my anxiety. It means a lot to me. From a certain student. Here's a couple from Year 9 students. Dear Merry Christmas, Mrs. Milovitas. Thank you for being an amazing teacher this year. You taught me so much more than just maths. But that one bad score in a test isn't going to ruin my entire life. Thank you for all the life lessons and maths ones as well. And I can't wait to have you again as my teacher next year. And this was a real highlight from Bilkel Clare. Dear Mrs. Miller, she called her Mrs. Miller. I just want to say thank you for being such an amazing teacher, believing in me and pushing me to achieve more. Maths has never been my favourite class before. But with you as my teacher, it is. I know that I'm not the best student in maths, but after having you as my teacher, I know that I'm going to try and reach for higher goals. You're truly an amazing teacher, and I hope you have a great holiday. Claire, this was the highlight of my year last year. Claire, she's this quiet kid. I don't hear a peep from her. And, you know, I just sort of occasionally engage with her or what have you, and I don't think much is going on. But anyway, at the end of one lesson, towards the end of the year, she says, Mr. Spillo, I've been really thinking about it, and I really want to do methods in Year 11, and I want you to help me do that. I mean, who does that? In Year 9, plans 2 years ahead. The thing I want to point out to you is not what an amazing teacher I am. I know my limitations. They think that I'm, you know. But I want to highlight to you what happened last year at Swan Christian College in N1, my classroom, is more than just teaching, showing up, conveying some maths concepts, promotions, programs. I want to highlight to you that little environment, that little petri dish, is all about people and connecting. It's all about people and connecting. Maths, promotions, heads of department, it's just a means to an end. But at the end of it, that's what the highlight is. Those little messages mean something. They just take pride and joy in when things get really dark. What if we were to approach our Christianity, our Bible, our church life, with a different mindset than the one we've adopted last year or the last 50 years or however long you've been saved? I've got to say to students, I said, don't let school interfere with your education. And I want to say it to you in church, don't let church interfere with your Christianity and your Christian walk, because sometimes it can get right in the way. And what a great time to revisit that at the beginning of the year when we're making these plans. One of the best habits I've started last year as well, and continuing on this year, is I've been listening to a sermon series by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. If you're around Christian circles, you know who he is. If you don't, write it down. I really recommend. There's a podcast. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he was preaching in the 1950s and 1960s. Awesome, Westminster Cathedral. He's done a series on Ephesians, Romans, John. And this particular sermon series I'm listening to in the book of Ephesians, It's different, very, very different, in the sense that I can just simply describe it as no fancy illustrations, no fancy stories, no delving deep into the minds. It's just simply systematically going through every single verse in the book of Ephesians. And I'm up 24 sermons into the series and up to verse 14. And in those 14 verses, I have a fresh appreciation of God after 40 plus years. I have a fresh appreciation of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the plan of salvation, who I am, my plan, my fitting in the plans of God, my place in the scheme of things. A whole number of things in those 14 verses that I've been listening to the last couple of months. This sermon series, this particular one, Ephesians, lasted from 1954, October 1954 to August 1962. You do the maths, about 8 years. Systematically going through verse by verse. I'm going to attempt to do one verse this morning, my take on that. And I want to read that for you and just see what God speaks to you today. This is just pure Bible. Pure word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I want to present to you a fresh way of looking at the Bible. If the Bible is the word of God, the breath of God, the life-giving word, then those words should mean something to us. Those words should just come out of the page and present something that will challenge us in our current existence, rather than dismiss them as the opening verses as a common polite greeting. Greetings from Paul. That's what we do, don't we? When we read the book of Ephesians, we read any letter, say, Paul to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, blah, blah, blah. Now let's get to the meaty stuff. Well, I want to consider with you as we take this bite size rather than just look for the meat. By the way, when you have a meal and there's a meat and veg, you just don't take the whole thing and shove it in your face, do you? Just take little bite sizes, which, especially if you go to a fancy restaurant. You don't want to be over in 2 minutes, do you? You want to take your time and savour the food. So what we're going to do this morning is present to you a way of looking at the Bible, a way of reading the Bible, a way of meditating the Bible. I'm going to take this verse, word by word, phrase by phrase, and just open it up to you. So the first word that begins there is the word Paul. Paul is a name. It begins with a name. How many know names are very, very important? I get into a lot of trouble when I call students in my class by a name that I thought they were, because I thought in my mind, you know, Emma is, sir, that's not my name, but you look like an Emma. And so I have to explain that. Names are very important. Your name is very important. When I get it wrong, when I misspell it, people get upset. To me, that tells me that God is interested in names. Names are very, very important in the scripture. You know that. If you're a scriptural student, you know that. Names reveal character. And when you look at the name of Paul, you realise, of course, when you do a little bit of study, his name was not Paul, but his name was Saul of Tarsus. Just an interesting little study on what those names mean. Saul means question or ask. The word Paul means small or humble. That leads me to think that Paul started out with questions, as we all do. How many have got the answers to every single thing in life, or you still have some questions? We all start with questions, don't we? I know teenagers think they know everything to life, but deep down inside, there is full of questions. Just like Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, was certain in certain theologies. As an old man, he comes to Jesus in John chapter 3, verse 3, and says, what must I do to be saved, basically? He basically is questioning deep down inside as the ruler, as an old person, full of theology, full of the knowledge that he learned up to that stage, comes to Jesus by night to find out, what this teacher, this new teacher, has to offer him. Deep down inside, I bet his middle name was Saul. He had questions. And that exchange in John chapter 3, you realise that this man had lots of questions. And God changed Paul's name and his nature. Sorry, Saul's name to Paul, and taught him about humility. Paul means small and humble. And he penned, this is one of the many verses that he pens in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Something's happened to Saul. He's become Paul. And now with confidence he can say, "I delight in difficulties." What? "I delight in persecutions." What? You're mad. Something's happened to this man. There's been a transformation. I'll just stay with Paul for the rest of the sermon if you want me to. Christianity is first and foremost God's knowledge and interest in you. Put your name there. Merrills, that's what I call him. I don't call him Rob. Merrills. God is interested in you, in me, as a person, as a name. And not only just where you are, Saul, questions, to transform you into a Paul, where you'll say, "I actually rejoice in persecutions and difficulties and hardships." That's madness, isn't it? Unless God's involved. Unless God changes that nature. And changing that name that will ultimately bring glory to him. Your life is an opportunity for God to give glory to who he is. Now, just hearing the story of the house. I mean, just a house building. Well, it's not just a house. It's a story. And I was just so inspired by, here's this building inspector seeing the worst scenario, the worst case scenario at the end of it. Says, "This is the best." Well, how did that happen? "Oh yeah, we ticked off some boxes." No, God got involved. God changed that. Thanks for letting me use that as an illustration. Okay. Now I can go down the rabbit hole of God changing names. The Abrahams, the Abrams to Abrahams, Jacobs to Israel, Simons to Peters. But I think it'll take 8 years to do that. So let's just pause right now. Let's stay with Paul. Names are important. Let's move on to who Paul was. The Bible says he's an apostle. In that reading in 1 Timothy, he calls himself a herald and an apostle. Someone who speaks out and someone who is an apostle. An apostle is literally one who is sent. We know that. That's what the Greek word means. One who is sent. Now, Paul is the great apostle to the Gentiles, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. A very powerful figure in the New Testament and in history. But how many understand he was one of many who were sent? That's why he calls himself an apostle. One apostle. He didn't say Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. He just said an apostle, a herald, one who was sent. And Jesus in John chapter 20 says to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I am also sending you." Now we know there's a special place for the 12 apostles, Paul, and all these figures in history. But they didn't consider themselves as great apostles. We do, because we like to highlight people. We like to make heroes of people. They just saw themselves as an apostle of many. Paul, when you look at his trajectory, when you look at what he was actually saying, "I'm just an apostle. As a matter of fact, I consider myself the least of the apostles." As you look at his journey, you know, the whole thing about being humble, Paul, "I consider myself the least of all saints." And at one place, you know what I'm talking about, he says, "I consider myself the least of all sinners." This is what grace has God done. This is the grace that God has afforded to me. Peter, when he opens up his epistle, he says, I am a fellow elder. He doesn't say, I'm the king dog here, you better listen to me. I am a fellow elder. I am a fellow minister. There's no hierarchy of popes and bishops and deacons. That's the church's doing. You better listen to me. I am the pastor of the church. Yeah. You're just a pastor. You're just a minister. You're just a person. An apostle. Every one of us. This is the new revelation. This is the New Testament revelation that every one of us can be a vessel that God can use. Not just the preachers. Greetings. My name is Smilo, the great preacher of the gospel. You better listen to me. No. I am a vessel this morning. I am an apostle by the will of God. When God saves us from sin, from questions, from death, he saves us to something. Aren't you glad about that? Christian life is not just about God saving us from sin. Now what? Well, we'll just wait for heaven. No, we've got a job to do. He saves us to something. He saves us to being apostles, ones who are sent with a purpose and a mission and a message. We're heralds to speak the word of God, just like these little Christmas cards. Thank you, Mr. Smilo, for being there and talking through this whole issue about my coach's death. Thank you, Mr. Smilo, for talking through this test scenario that one test doesn't rule my whole life. And my job as a teacher is secondary. It's a means to an end. My job as an apostle is primary. Greetings from Spillo, an apostle. An apostle at Swan Christian. I'm an apostle here in Darlington by the will of God. My own apostle, I'm not here by my own authority. Paul says I am Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. That is filled with meaning. Paul's life is no longer his own. My life is no longer my own. I belong to another. I have been bought with a price. I am essentially a slave to someone else. Not just anyone. This is an apostle of Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. In the olden days, everybody told you when you're at work, make sure you work for the government because it's the most secure job you can possibly have. And so what people did is they sell their souls to the government. Why? Because you can get benefits. You get good super, you get good retirement plans, you become a slave to the government. At the end of the days, you can just retire because the government will take care of you. But people get married. So you can give your life to another. You become a slave to another. Some parties are more slaves than others in a marriage. That's another sermon, by the way. It'll take 8 years to unfold. But they exchange their freedom in order to receive benefits. Can I tell you, Jesus is better than the government or a husband? Jesus is our master. Jesus is the one who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The government can let you down. Haven't heard of that. A husband can let you down. Jesus has sent us on a mission of apostleship, but also he's empowered us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit because yours is the kingdom of heaven. I'm giving you resources, the same person. And the power that created the entire universe is also available to you. This is who you are a slave to. Not a system, not a job, not an institution. But you are a slave to Jesus Christ. And that has so much more benefits. I can spend the rest of the year talking about those benefits. As I'm to say, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It's not an accident. By the will of God. And what God wills comes to pass. When God says, let there be light, Genesis 1, light's just sitting there, I'm not going out. Light comes out.
What God speaks, what God says, by his will comes to pass.
Can I demystify the will of God? That's great. The will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is God's intention. God's intention is that the entire world is filled with his glory. God's intention is his perfect plan. God's intention is what he works out. And Paul unfolds and works out this in the later verses of Ephesians. But the Bible talks about, Paul talks about predestinate, who has predestinated us before the foundation of the world. Think about it. Think about this mystery. That God's intention, God's will has been formed before the foundation of the world. When God is speaking to Jeremiah, he says to him these words, "Before I formed you, I knew you." To me, that tells me I'm not an afterthought. I'm not an accident. I am here by the will of God. His plan, his will for your life, for our life, is not an afterthought. It's not a plan B to fix Adam's mess. Jesus is not just plan B. Plan of salvation is the will of God before the foundation of the world. Paul's life, Jesus' life, the Ephesians church, this church, my life, your life, not an accident. We are here by the will of God. That will take a lot of unpacking. Everything that is by the will of God. Oh, what about COVID? By the will of God. You mean God? I don't know. Just everything that is by the will of God. God's got it all under control. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, gives us a glimpse, and is trying to communicate this to the saints. And the rest of the letter to Ephesians goes this into a tremendous, tremendous revelation. Have a listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones. Have a read of it yourself. I'm just scratching the little surface here this morning. So here it is, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints. Some early manuscripts take out that word, the saints. Take out the word Ephesus and just has the word saints. In other words, it's not specifically to the Ephesian church. Sometimes it was just a letter that was written and it was circulated in that entire region. It's not just meant for a particular church. It's not just to the church in Darlington. But it could be a letter to the entire hills or entire Midland area or Perth region. Circulated red letter. The emphasis is the word saints. Saints sanctified. Saints set apart. Saints that are separated. That's what that word means. A saint is separated. Take out that Catholic understanding. They know someone that is canonized, that have been through some things and demonstrate some miracles. That's not what a saint is. A saint is someone that is set apart, simply and purely. The word that the Bible uses is holy as well. And this whole thing about holiness is not just for the privileged few. It's not just, you know, the separation of the holy and the unholy. It's for absolutely everyone. The saints in that particular reason, in that particular region. It's a shadow in the Old Testament of a kingdom of priests. This is God's will. This is God's intention to create a holy nation. A separated people from the world, from the Gentiles. So God had the separation of his people, his holy nation, from the world.
And this becomes a reality in the New Testament in the church. The church is the separated people. The saints are the separated people from the world, set apart. When you think about set apart from what? Set apart from everything that causes problems in the world. The world itself, the world system that's in enmity against God. The flesh, our own enemy. These are all our mortal enemies. The world, the flesh, the devil who's opposed to God's will. Sin, which is opposed to God's blessing on the earth. Death, which is opposed to God's will for life. Everything that is opposed to God, God has separated us from. Aren't you glad about that? We're separated from the world, from our flesh, from the devil, from sin, from death. Set apart for something. For what? For holiness, for relationship, for heaven, for glory. To be apostles, to be heralds for this wonderful message of the gospel. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. The saints, the set apart, who are in Ephesus. Now, let's take for a moment Ephesus. Ephesus is a pagan city. It's a picture of the world. In the Old Testament, it's a picture of Egypt. That city was opposed to God, Babylon. In Ephesus, there was a worship of Diana. There was a temple erected in the center of Ephesus to the worship of the goddess, Greek goddess Diana. There was temple prostitutes there, some ungodly practices that were happening there. That is a picture of the world. And here's the miracle of miracles. God has set a colony of heaven right in the middle of this pagan city. These saints were in Ephesus, but taken out of Ephesus. They were holy, separated, not a part of Ephesus, not a part of their thinking, not a part of what they were participating in. I mean, that's exactly what happens to you as a saint in Darlington. You're in Darlington, hopefully, but you're not of Darlington. Your thinking's a little bit different from Darlingtonians. I mean, I'm the average Darlingtonian. I think just get a nice house, get all decked out, and just retire and die, and then what? That's it. That's it. Hopefully your thinking is, yeah, nice house, die, but hang on, while I'm here, I don't care how old I am, I'm a herald, I'm an apostle. I'm there to witness to the building inspector and tell him how good God is. I'm there to witness at school. I'm not ready for retirement at 63, almost 63. I've still got a job to do. You know, this year I've got the finances worked out, I've got my retirement plan, I've got all the projections and got all the computer things, and was telling me that I can get so much pension. In five years' time, I'm going to be like you guys. 5 years' time, I can retire. And the fear of all fears that I have is, can I retire adequately? And sure enough, by a miracle of God, not because of my financial skills, which I know, thanks to Rob, he helps me with my finances and my planning and getting the whole thing, I can actually comfortably retire with my current lifestyle. Thank you, Jesus. That's not because of me, that was because of God. But is that all? Is that all Spillo's looking forward to? Retirement? God forbid. I'm in Bayswater, but not of Bayswater. I'm in this world, but not of this world. You know, this world in its current state, in chaos, needs to see something different about you. When you go to work, whenever you go back to work or whatever, you're socialising with the Darlingtonians and the Bayswaterians or whoever you associate with. They need to see something different about you. I think it's expressed in the next word.
the saints who are in Ephesus faithful. And we understand the secondary word of that, meaning of that faithful, just simply trustworthy, dependable, just there, you're faithful. But the primary meaning of that word, same word that is used in the story of Thomas, you know Thomas, the doubting Thomas, says, unless I put my hands in his hands, I will not believe. And Jesus says, here I am, put your hands there. And he says to Thomas, Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but faithful, same word, but believing, full of faith. First and foremost, as Christians, as saints, we are full of faith. The thing that sets us apart from the rest of the world, we believe in some things. And those things are very different to the world. You know, I was trying to set out in the Apostles' Creed. What do we believe in? We believe in life. We believe in eternal life. That this life is not what it just is. It just ends at death. This is just the beginning. Death is just the beginning. We believe in those things. We believe in the resurrection. We believe in the Holy Church. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in life eternal. We believe in the church. As a professional development, a whole bunch of heads of department all over the state, and we're looking at the program for maths, and I was sitting at a table with one particular lady from Mount Lawley, and just before the session started, we just got into COVID, and you know, I just asked her the question. I said, as a, because she wasn't a believer, this is a, I'll go to this one Christian college, I said, as just my take on how do you interpret, how do you deal with this whole thing of COVID? She was like my age, about 60-something. It's interesting words that she said. She says, I just see it as this black curtain closing in. Interesting. So what do I say to that as a Christian? Yeah, you're right. It's a black curtain. We're all doomed. We're going to die. I say, yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a black curtain. But I know someone, I says to her, I know someone that's above the black curtain, that oversees the curtain, and he's in total control. I just left it with that. I believe in some things. Her belief went to the black curtain closing in. But thank God there's an apostle at that table, by the will of God, who spoke, who heralded the message, there's a God, there's someone above the black curtain who is in total control. Faithful in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. How many understand without Jesus Christ, all we have is psychology, all we have is principles, all we have is program, all we have is things. Faithful, not in a program, not in stuff, in Christ Jesus. There's no Christianity without Christ. And Paul spends the rest of the epistle, the rest of his life, unfolding this great statement. What's it like to be in Christ Jesus? He uses the body analogy. We're in the body. We're connected. Every one of us is connected in one body. Jesus talks about him being the vine and us being the branches. You, me, vine, you, branches. If you're joined to me, you're alive. If you're not joined to me, you die. I can't put it any more simple than that. Without me, Jesus says, you cannot do anything. In one of my Christian living class, I try to describe what it means to be in Christ, and I use the analogies of being in debt. How many understand the concept of being in debt? Not just having a few bills to pay, but being in debt. If you're nodding your heads. How many understand the concept of being in love? Not just being infatuated, but being in love. In trouble. Not just in trouble, in the zone, in vogue, in crowd, in tune, in control.
in Christ. Not just on the outskirts, not just tampering in the edges, not just passing through, but in Christ, in the centre, in. That was Paul's quest, beloved. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Everything else is peripheral. Let me ask you a question. In 2022, first couple of sermons, as you're planning the rest of the year, who is this Jesus? Oh, I know who this Jesus is. I've known him for the last 75 years. No. Whoa. Who is... And are you in Christ? Now, I've spent the last 40-plus years trying to find out who this Jesus is, and I'm still discovering it. 2022 is a brand new year to discover who Jesus is. What does it mean for Spiller? Well, first of all, God knows my name. God knows your name. Spiller is an apostle of Jesus Christ. I belong to him. I have a mission. You belong to him. You have a mission. I am here in this church this morning by the will of God as an apostle and as a herald of Jesus Christ. He's unfolding his perfect will for my life, for your life. And he's doing that. He had it all planned before the foundation of the world. What's happening today? What's happening in Alf's house? God knew before the foundation of the world. What's happening in your life today? God knew before the foundation. That is the mystery of mysteries right there. But that gives me great confidence that nothing escapes him. This COVID scare, nothing escapes him. We are here at this time by the will of God. We have a message to the saints in Perth at Swan who are wholly separated from. Are you separated from? Or you just think, oh, if you can't beat them, join them. And so here's the challenge in 2022. To be faithful. Full of faith. Maybe just to renew your faith by a refreshing of the Word of God. Not just reinforce some stuff that you already know, but to revisit those stuff, challenge that stuff, and maybe God will speak to you afresh like he did with Nicodemus. He thought he knew it all until he encountered Jesus afresh. Paul thought he knew it all until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. I just pray for a Damascus Road experience for you. Faithful, full of faith, renew your faith by a current knowledge or a refreshing knowledge of the Word of God. In Christ, you renew your position and your love for him. Maybe you're, there's Jesus and you were just about here. Maybe just get a little bit closer so you can be in him. You know, this church of Ephesus, and I close with this, appears again in the book of Revelation, the very first letter to the seven churches. And Jesus challenges this old church that's been pastored by Paul, by John, by Paul the Apostle, the very, very important church, very central church, faithful to the doctrine, faithful to its mission. But one of the great dangers of this church was it was in danger of leaving its first love. Jesus says, return to me. Challenge you afresh regarding your first love. Maybe that first love is to go back to the first verse of a very important letter and to affirm the fact that your name, you have a mission, you have a purpose, not by accident, by the will of God. Out. For us to believe and ultimately to stay in Jesus, not to move away from him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
it this morning was just simply scratch a very, very small, on just the top. I haven't revealed it. I just gave you a little taste. A little taste. It's like an overture. Like all the themes that will appear in the rest of the letter. If I had the next 8 years, systematically, every Sunday morning, I'll just be simply going to the next verse, grace and peace from our Lord God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Go systematically. A few months to go for the first 10 verses. But you don't really need me. You can do it yourself. Just sit there and read your Bible afresh. Don't just big chunks, tick it off. Pause on every word. From your current knowledge, you know about things. Let God knit the whole thing together and give you a fresh revelation like He's doing with me the last few months. Can I challenge you in 2022? Very, very simply. To be faithful, full of faith, renewed faith, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. For what reason? That the people around you, when you go to the supermarket, that God opens up an opportunity for you to speak, open up your mouth, that you become a herald and an apostle for a very, very, very simple message. That God's in control. That they have an opportunity to come out of Darwin, to come out of this world, and be part of this glorious institution called the church. God's folding up things. God's tidying up. These are the last days. How much more should we be heralds and apostles to that glorious message?
Eyes closed, heads bowed. Maybe God is challenging you.
Your relevance, your importance, your name, His will, about being a herald, being an apostle, being faithful, being in Him. Out of Japan, I'm going to say, God, you've challenged me this morning. It's a Japan assessment. Couple of people. Can I challenge those people that have been challenged by God to continue that, what God has started and finish? And for the rest of us, just pray to God and just pray for every single one this morning. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you that you are God, we are not. And you have a plan, a will that you're unfolding in everyone's life. And I just pray that you will make that will manifest. As Paul prays later on, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. The hope you're called towards that great and glorious purpose that you have for the church. God, I just pray that you begin this today and continue until Jesus returns. We pray.